Hello, racing fans. Edison Hatter back with another episode of First Over with Edison Hatter. This time to discuss a couple different things. First up will be Wednesday, November 24th, 2021, racing action at Dover Downs. It's the progress pace to round out our Grand Circuit action this year on the harness racing side of things. And then I'll also discuss some Friday evening Woodbine Mohawk action this coming Friday, November 26th, 2021. Card for them, as always, starting at 7 p.m. with that early pick five we'll cover. But first things first, we've got these Dover Down Wednesday evening races to cover. We'll cover races 10, 11, and 12. And to help me talk about the races, I'm happy to join once again by Heather Vitale. Heather, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
So Heather, as always, the USTA sponsoring us here and their strategic wagering program, the opportunity to win big with harness racing, guaranteed pool wagers every day with free Trackmaster Pass performances. The USTA strategic wagering program provides value to horse players through exotic and multi-race wagers in the guaranteed pools every day at harness tracks across the country. And to learn more, fans can visit www.handicapping.ustrotting.com. So with that, Heather, we will discuss, again, races 10, 11, and 12. It's a big 14, or actually, it might even be 15. I believe it's 14 race card tomorrow night there at Dover Downs. Again, a 4:30 p.m. first post time. And, Heather, we'll just jump right into it here with race number 10, and that's the Ramona Hubbard Delaware. Well, actually, you know what, Heather? I'm sorry. Let me take a step back. I know you're there now, and obviously this week there's been some additional Delaware Standardbred Breeders' Fund finals that you've covered. So talk a little bit about how those races have gone this week, each of them with that big $100,000 purse.
Oh, well, first of all, I mean, like, we're really proud of our Sire Stakes, program that we have, because honestly, it is quite new. There was a program that we had a long time ago, and then we didn't have one for years. And then when we had the Redevelopment Act back in, I think it was like 97, it came back around, our Sire Stakes program. So yeah, each year we actually have two finals, and they each go for $100,000. So it gives, you know, the 2-year-olds and the 3-year-olds a chance to win $100,000 two different times during the year, once at Harrington and then once at Dover. So far, you know, we've had the 2-year-old pacing colts, and both divisions for the trotters, for 2-year-olds, the colts, and also the fillies. So the one on Wednesday, which is tomorrow or tonight, I'm not sure, this is airing. I guess it would be Wednesday. That's going to be the 2-year-old fillies that are going to post.
Correct. And Heather, also then for our 3-year-olds, for our fans listening in, those will come a little bit later, right? Early December time frame.
They are. Gosh, I want to say, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but it's December 15th, maybe. I hate to give out the wrong date, but it's somewhere the second week, I believe, in December at Dover. Yes, for the 3-year-olds, and all the 3-year-olds are actually on the same night.
Going to agree with you. I think maybe the 16th. I know it's one of those nights in there. Maybe I'll get a chance to look that up here quickly while we're discussing these races. But first things first, Heather, with tomorrow's evening race, talking about that Delaware Standardbred Breeders' Fund final, it's the Ramona Hubbard for the 2-year-old Philly Pacers. And it's a $100,000 purse here. And, well, Heather, I think we both know there's one clear standout in here. How about the 5, Shabby Chick, who is 7 for 7, perfect, making $99,000 so far this year. Would love to add the extra $50,000 here to Wednesday night. And a 155-2 mark at Harrington, 5 wins at Harrington, 2 at Dover. She has been flawless.
She has been flawless. And I'll tell you, I mean, Mike Hall, her trainer, has loved her from the beginning, but I know she has a perfect record, and she has proven that she is the real deal, you know, in these DSBF races. But I'm going to tell you what, number 3, Bank the Win, is, I think, going to give her a run for her money. Bank the Win won in 154-3. That was a lifetime mark for her last time out, and she won so dominant. I mean, she won by 14 lengths, and she was incredible. So I was talking to her driver, Vic Kirby, and obviously he was saying how happy he was that she's just progressively getting better. And they said in the beginning she was a little bit hot-headed, you know, a little bit hard to, you know, have control of. And he says that they've got that under control. And so anyway, I think she's going to, and when I say they, of course, you know, between Vic and then her trainer, Brian Truitt, who's just a great guy, great horseman here locally. I think Bank the Wind's going to be the one, that's going to be the hard one to beat in here. So, I know everybody's looking at Shabby Cheek, but yeah, Bank the Wind, that's who I'm going with.
Yeah, tough to disagree there, Heather. That was the next horse I was going to, of course, ask about. You know, so as you mentioned, these horses get the opportunity through the DSBF to race twice. And obviously at Harrington, when they met up in early October, Shabby Cheek won by three lengths there with Bank the Wind finishing second. But since then, Bank the Wind, as you mentioned, two pretty impressive efforts. And gosh, that 14 and a quarter length win last week surely did look impressive. And as you mentioned, 54-3 for the lifetime mark. So for sure, she'll be one to consider as well. But Heather, besides those, our two likely favorites in there, anyone else maybe underneath to use and say an exacta or a trifecta you think that could hit the board?
You know, I really like that six horse Odds On Surfer Gal, the Tony Alagna horse. And I mean, she raced really good last time out in her elimination. She won in 55-2 and she came first up. And I know she's really lately raced. I mean, this is only her third lifetime start. That's going on Wednesday, but I like her a lot. And so it's going to be interesting. I mean, if she raced so good her second start, I mean, like, let's see what happens third time out. So third time could be a charm. Who knows? She could end up taking all of it.
Yeah, definitely a nice one as well. The other one that maybe I like a little bit, maybe the one Gateway Gal, but Heather, we'll throw it to you to ask, you know, what do you think about horses coming off of something like that six scratch? Is that maybe a little hesitation, do you think, here in this spot?
Can you repeat that question?
Say
that again? I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries, Heather. The one, Gateway Gal, is maybe a horse that I like a little bit here, but, you know, coming off of that six scratch last week, you think maybe that's a little reason for concern here in this spot?
Oh, gosh. You know, that's a really good question. And probably one that, you know, you'd want to, like, get a little more insight from the trainer. I wouldn't be too concerned off of a six scratch. You know what I mean? I don't know what the, you know, what the details are as far as that's concerned, but I would definitely just say you could put her in the exotics. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, she raced super on the 10th, so I mean, he scratched her sick, and I'm sure he's got her ready to go.
Yeah, it was a very nice win there, November the 10th, and obviously the rail draw here definitely helps her. But so you'll go with the three, Bank the Win on the win side, and well, you know, I'm always a sucker for those undefeated horses, so I guess I will take Shabby Cheek. But I'm going to agree with you. You know, I'll throw it to you, but in my opinion, I'm still going to guess, based on that record, maybe Shabby Cheek is the favorite. But I don't know. Do you think Bank the Wind might be the favorite off of that last effort?
No. I'm going to say Shabby Cheek will end up being the favorite. I think so. I mean, she's a morning line favorite, and I think the bettors will probably make her the favorite.
So in that sense, Heather, for sure, if you can get those three Bank the Win, you know, home, I think, you know, the 27-4 kicker, 54-3, it's going to seem like a pretty obvious one, you know, to use considering the spot. But for sure, it should be a good battle between those two. So next in race 11, we have the Blue Hen Open Handicap, the Pacers going for 27,500. You know, it's only a field of six, but a pretty select field. I think just about anyone can theoretically win, and I think there's a couple different directions you should go. So what do you think here, Heather?
I got to go with the girl, and not just because it's the girl, Skoala Hanover, number two. She is so good right now. She's just so good. And, you know, when a horse is just feeling themselves, you know, like a baseball player hitting a home run, you know what I mean? When they're in the zone, they are in the zone. I mean, she, I think she can beat the boys here. I love her.
Yeah, tough to disagree with you there. She just had that five race win streak snapped last time out, ended up taking that pocket trip there behind Lucky Artist, who got the job done in the open up at Yonkers. But obviously here at Dover, two pretty impressive wins there in a row for her. So definitely she'll be one to consider. What about underneath? We got Slick Tony. I thought he came back with a nice race there off of the fourth place effort when he came over to visit us at Rosecroft a couple weeks ago on Potomac Pace Night.
I didn't use Slick Tony anywhere. And I love Slick Tony, and Slick Tony is actually a Delaware sire champion and a household name on Delmarva, you know, like he's a fan favorite, but I really like the five better than the beach, to tell you the truth. He's been racing super, and I think he's going to race really, really well on Wednesday.
Yeah, tough to disagree with you there, Heather. That was going to be the next horse I was going to go to, that for sure. Those three most recent efforts at Dover have been very impressive for him, including a second and third here in some of these open handicap companies. And now what about the six Mac here at 8-1 on the board? This one won the open handicap 2 weeks ago. How about this number? 64-1.
Oh, I know. Actually, with my show, Post Time, that I do here on Delmarva, the TV show, I use that. I mean, I love when a bomber comes in, you know, and I love to show people that, look, you know what? Not always the favorites come in. You can make money at this game, you know? That's why it's so much fun, and we try to handicap races, and we try to figure out what's going to happen. I do like Mac, and Joe Colombo always has a really great meet here at Dover. Does well at, and you know, Delaware overall, you know, Harrington as well, and I like Mac a lot. But you know, the one horse Trojan Banner, it comes from my family stable. Jim King Jr. is my stepdad, and so you know, obviously being a little bit closer to this horse. I mean, this is his third start back, and he's getting better with each start, I think. So, you know, I'm hoping the one Trojan Banner is going to be in there somewhere.
Well, most certainly wish you the best of luck with him tomorrow. But yeah, I think we're both on board here with the two school at Hanover, for sure, looking to make amends after that most recent defeat at Yonkers. And we'll look to start a new win streak. Yes.
Oh, sorry, I totally interrupted you, but I just wanted to say before you moved on. So Scuola Hanover, by the way, Scuola means school in Italian. So I just thought I would, you know, throw that out there for anybody who wanted a little tidbit on the name. In fact, in the barn, the Staffords call her school.
Thank you. I do appreciate the information, because, you know, I know I've listened to some of those past replays in the past, and I think Scuola has kind of been used about. So you're saying it's Scuola? Is that correct, Scuola?
Scuola, yeah.
Okay.
Then
hopefully I will start saying that correctly going forward. So Scuola Hanover, we're both with here, the likely favorite in that open handicap. So with that, Heather, we get to the big one. Race number 12, the Progress Pace Final. We're going for a purse of $310,000, a field of eight here. And, you know, the horse I'm going to start with, how about the two, Luz Perlman? A winner last week in the elimination, actually is the favorite at 3-2, even favored over Charlie May, who had to obviously work from post 10. And then Luz Perlman, you know, he disappointed a bit in that Breeders' Crown elimination, but let's talk about the fact that he finishes second to Charlie May and the Matron on the Dover track. He wins, of course, the Jug, the half-mile track. He races very well throughout the summer out at the Pocono, the Meadows, you know, these 5/8 mile tracks. So maybe this is the horse for course here when it comes to these small tracks. Luz Perlman, maybe the one to look to?
Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I totally agree with you. I don't have him picked as my winner, but I think he'll be, you know, second or third in here. He does love that smaller track, doesn't he? And he's been, you know, like, I don't want to say like he's been overlooked, because he was the favorite last time out, but he hasn't been one of those 3-year-olds that people have been really talking about, you know what I mean? Because there's been like the Charlie Mays and the Perfect Stings and the, you know what I mean? So, you know, when he won last week, I thought it was a good race. And I think it showed what his potential was. But in this one, I know he's got an outside post, but I do have to go with Charlie May over Luz Perlman.
Yeah, Charlie May, definitely a tough one to go against. Gosh, how about that trip that he had last week from post 10? Finished fourth in that elimination. And obviously before that, we all know what his record has been. The year he's had here, 10 wins from 21 starts, banking over $800,000, 6 second place finishes, 17 for 30 lifetime. Definitely could go on and on about Charlie May for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, Timmy Petrick, obviously, he had 3 horses he could have picked from in this race, and he went with Charlie May. So he obviously thinks that, you know, that was the one to beat is Charlie May. And I talked to Tim tonight, and he said, you know, this is his first time driving the horse, but he's been beat by this horse plenty of times. So, you know, I thought, yes, you know, I mean, even though he hasn't driven him, obviously, he still knows a horse because he's been in with the horse, you know. So he's looking forward to tomorrow night. He also said, and I'm going to quote Timmy on this, though, although I think he was joking with me. He said that he is as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Now, I don't completely agree with that. I think he was kind of teasing me a little bit, but I said, you know what? You just said it. I'm using the quote on the podcast.
Well, as you mentioned, Heather, definitely driver choice, something important to consider there. And I was also going to say, yeah, Tim's a first time driving Charlie May, but for sure, he's a good one. And those two definitely a good partnership. So you'll take Charlie May. I'm going to have to go with Louis Perlman, though, that inside post draw as well. But Heather, maybe some other horses underneath. You know, the one I've talked about all year, and I guess I got to go to one more time here in Grand Circuit season, the one, A Buck a Bed Hanover. You know, that was a tough middle half that he had to go to last time out, parked to the opening quarter from post seven, eventually was able to clear to the top, but those middle fractions was 54-1. He still came home in 28-3 to finish third, beaten just by a neck. So I've always got to throw A Buck a Bed underneath maybe for an exacta or something. But what about you, Heather, underneath?
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, there's I'm like looking at the program as we're talking, and I'm like, there are so many good horses in here that if a little bit of luck is on their side, they're, you know what I mean? They're going to come through and they're going to be overlooked. You know, they're going to be a sleeper and they're going to come through and they're going to hit somebody's ticket and make somebody really happy. Well, first of all, let me talk about the 8, Southwind Gentry. I mean, he was flying, like, coming home last week, and just, you know, you've got David Miller driving, who has them in the right spot. I mean, that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. And so if it wasn't for that 8 post, you know, I think he would be one that would be honestly hard to beat in here. But that 8 post is not easy at Dover. Another one is the 5, Rocky Road Hanover. I mean, call me crazy, but I seriously think if he has a little bit of luck on his side, he's gonna come up with something big tomorrow night as well.
You know, Heather, I'm just, as you're talking, looking through some of these form lines, and, you know, obviously this is I believe it is the final race of the Grand Circuit season, but if not one of the last. And, you know, obviously after this, quite a few of these will obviously get some time off in the winter. And gosh, when I look through these form lines, it's some well-deserved time off. I mean, there are some tough, tough miles that a whole lot of this field and obviously a lot of our other big stakes horses this year have put in. So for sure, I think a lot of our horses and equine athletes here are going to get some deserved time off here pretty soon. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know. With this being the last big race, they get to go on vacay. I mean, I think, honestly, it's not just the horses. It's the people, too. You know, running around. I mean, I know that you hold, like, an amazingly busy schedule, as I do, too. So it'll be nice to kind of just, like, take a deep breath and chill out for a little bit and then, you know, get ourselves all, like, pumped up for next season when it comes back around.
Most certainly. You know, Heather, today and yesterday were two of the first days I think I've had off of work in like forever, and I spent them going down to pick up my cousin for Thanksgiving break from the University of Tennessee. So it's good to know that 16 hours of driving over 2 days makes it into my quote-unquote days off.
Oh my gosh. And you know what, though? I think I saw that on social media, and there was no place for you to make a wager anywhere, right? Isn't that what you said? Like, there was no... Did I misread that?
No, that's also correct. That was also kind of funny to me. Tennessee, I guess. You know what? I think maybe certain platforms or whatever, but I use TVG. I know TVG app was not a valid state for Tennessee. So yeah, I know that was funny. That was my first complaint when I got down to see my cousin yesterday. My first complaint to her that, oh gosh, I can't wager in Tennessee.
That's so funny. Well, you're a true lover of the sport, so that's good. We're happy to have you.
Well, Heather, we'll look forward to hearing and seeing your coverage tomorrow out at Dover Downs. The progress pace, race 12, the estimated post time, 8:10. And obviously, again, as we've talked through, races 10 through 12, and besides that, still a whole bunch of other just fantastic races on the card. And I was debating 14 or 15, so it is 15. So 15 race card tomorrow. starting at 4:30 p.m. So, Heather, thank you so much for taking time for the show. And again, best wishes and enjoy Progress Pace Night tomorrow at Dover.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And with that, we will turn our attention next to the Friday evening racing. Friday, November 26, 2021 at Woodbine Mohawk, an 11-race program that will get underway at 7 p.m. as always. And I will cover for you and give out, as always, my early pick 5 ticket, a 20-cent base wager, a $100,000 guaranteed pool, races 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then also we'll discuss briefly featured race number 8 on the program. But first things first, let's get right into the pick 5 sequence, starting with race 1, fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and youngers, numbers of one race or 7,600 lifetime. It's on the pace for a purse of 16,000, a field of 8 in here. And I'm going to go 3 deep. We're going to use the 2, the 5, and the 6 to kick it off. The 2, Into the Mystic Moon, comes off of a victory against this non-winners of one company. Had post 10, left, was parked through the opening quarter, was eventually able to clear to the top, and ended up crossing the line in second, beaten by a half length, but was placed first as a result of a disqualification. So a victory, a first career victory for her. She's not crossed the line first, but nonetheless, she was the 3-2 favorite there and did get the victory via the disqualification that she'll look for 2 in a row, try to get one the more traditional way this time out. The 5PL, ooh yeah, comes off of a victory 2 back November 4th at this level. An impressive 2.25 length score at 9-5. And then she jumped up to try some Ontario Harvest Series company and wasn't too great of a fit in there. She did take some respect at 13-1, but she finished 7th, beaten by a good 16 lengths. But a drop back down to this kind of level, I think, is just what the doctor ordered for her. And then finally, we'll use the 6, Addictive Behavior. She comes off of a very nice qualifying effort back on November the 19th. Pretty late here in her 2-year-old season, she's going to get her first try on the track in the Paramutual Arena. But she came home in 28-1 a last quarter. She looked pretty good doing it. Austin Soria in the bike, and he's going to drive here as well. So we'll throw in the first-time starter to see what she has to offer in her first time on the track. And with that, we will go again 2, 5, and 6 to kick off the sequence. Now, in race 2, we're going to end up using 4 of the 7 in here. These are 2-year-olds, non-winners of one race, or 7,000 lifetime. The purse, 16,000. These are pacers. And we're going to use the 1, the 2, the 4, and the 6. The 1, Katie's Bet, comes off of a 4th-place effort at the level. The 2, Hashtag Money, comes off of a 3rd-place effort out of that same race. And the 4, Sip of Bourbon, was the winner out of that common race for all of them. And Sip of Bourbon was a big 17-1 number. Came home late. They got to 3/4 in 1:26-2, and no one was really coming home. He was 6th by 3.5 at the top of the stretch, and yet won by 2 lengths, only came home in 29-2, final time of 56-4. But, you know, in there, that was the first-time starter. He's now 1-for-1 Sip of Bourbon, and he'll take some money in the spot. But the 2, Hashtag Money, and the 1, especially the 1 actually here, Katie's Bet, they both took money in that race, finishing 3rd and 4th. They both have a little more experience, or well, at least the 1 does. Katie's Bet has 3 lifetime starts. Hashtag Money also made his career debut last time out, but he definitely had quite a few qualifying events before that, so he's still seen the track a little bit more than Sip of Bourbon. So we'll throw those 3 returning out of that same race all in the numbers here to see if one of them can come back with a victory. And then the 6, Feisty Like Fire, comes out of a different non-winners of one race out at Flamborough, winning by 8.25 at 4-5, 1:57-2 the final time. He is 3-for-7 lifetime, which is more than the rest of this field can say. Obviously, he's been racing against some slighter company, and ended up a really tough trip from post 10 at this level at Mohawk when last seen here. Was a big 57-1 number from post 10. Ended up parked through the half mile and just faded from there and just had absolutely nothing to offer. But again, after getting some confidence with that big victory down at Flamborough again and stepping back up here with a better draw, we'll definitely give him a look for me. So 1, 2, 4, and 6. So next in race 3, another race where I'm going to spread the 1, the 3, the 4, and the 8, my call. Going to use the 1, EmblyNet. EmblyNet coming off of a good effort back on October 23rd at Flamborough against non-winners of 5,200. Ended up getting away 4th off the gate then, finishing 2nd, beaten by 2.25. And then in recent times, she hasn't quite gotten off the gate as well against some slightly tougher company. So she has the rail here, so she should be able to get away hopefully in the front flight. And if she can work out a good trip, definitely I think is in with a chance. And then also we use the 3 in here, Raisin a Rocket, coming off of some victories out there at Western Fair, And, you know, the couple things going in her favor here. In the recent form, sure, she might not be as sharp as she was earlier in the year, but she's won 11 times from 26 starts this year, and she's gone 152-2 at Woodbine Mohawk before. So I don't think you can overlook her chances here at this non-winners of 4,000 level. And then we'll use the four Mostly Dolly. This is one coming off of a victory against $11,000 claimers last time out. And gosh, look at those post positions. She has had post 9, post 8, post 8, post 9, post 6, and post 8 in those six races. And she's raced very well in all of them. And now she gets post 4. So definitely one to include. And she's also in here today for the $20,000 claiming tag. And then we'll throw in the 8, Rockin' with Custard, who is in for the $24,000 claiming tag and also comes off of a victory against Claiming Company at 3-1, won by a length and a quarter. Pretty similar tale that she tells to Mostly Dolly. She's won 4 times this year and has gone 52-3 over this Mohawk track before. So 1, 3, 4, and 8, the numbers for me in race 3. Now, as we flip next to race number 4, we're going to use a single horse in here. We're going to just use the 3, Sonic Flair, who comes off of a victory against these Claiming Company, against $17,500 claimers last week. And, you know, the form lines for him are a little off because he raced on June 19th at Woodbine Mohawk and then was not seen until 3 days later when he qualified okay there. And then came back, though, in October 29th, so wasn't seen then for quite a time on the track, had broken equipment in that qualifier. I came back in the next qualifier, made a break, and then was finally able to qualify with a clean line back on November 12th, and then came up with this big effort to win after getting off the gate dead last against this exact company to pick up his 3rd win of the season. So he was 11-1 that night. He's definitely going to be a shorter price this time, but, you know, second time off the bench, I think he's only liable to improve, so I think for sure he's the one to beat in here, and Sonic Flair will be my single in this sequence. Now, finally, we'll flip to race 5, the 5th and final leg here, and we're going to use just 2, the 1 and the 2. The 1, Pull Me Through, has a lot of victories in there, 4-9, 155-3 at Woodbine. Now, some of those victories have come as well at Western Fair and Truro Raceway, so she's been seen a lot of different places, but she did just win most recently here at Woodbine Mohawk. She was 2-5 against non-winners of 1, so she'll take the step up here against tougher, but the rail draw definitely helps her chances as she does like to do things from the front end. So Sylvain Filion should definitely be able to send her early on from that draw. And then the 2, Lady Aquila, comes off of a 3rd-place effort against this type of company last time out. And, you know, she's been racing well, she's been picking up checks, and she's definitely in with a serious chance here. But gosh, the negative that you have to look at when we talk about her is the fact that she is 0-24 this year. She does have 12 second and 3rd place finishes, and she did have a win last year, but that's 1-37 in her career. So we'll see if she can pick up that second win for sure, but definitely hope we'll get a little bit of a price on her given that statistic. So we'll just go 1-2 to close it out in race 5. So to recap, for me, it's a $19.20 play on this Black Friday card at Woodbine Mohawk. We're going 2-5-6 with 1-2-4-6 with 1-3-4-8 with 3 with 1-2. And once again, that's a $19.20 play for a 20-cent base wager. One more race to look at on the program. We'll take a peek at race 8. It's the preferred here race of the evening. The Fillies and Mares, non-winners of 9,000 in the last 5 starts, or non-winners of 21,500 in their last 8 starts. It's on the pace for a purse of 20,000. And, you know, for me, this is a pretty straightforward race. It's very difficult to go against the likes of the 4, Trafalgar. Trafalgar has 2 second place efforts against this type of company in the 2 most recent weeks. She's been in fantastic form. The only thing that stood in her way is Realization. Realization has beaten her in 2 consecutive weeks here. She's finished a very solid 2nd to her in those back-to-back races, but now Realization graduates from this condition level, so Trafalgar definitely the one to beat here. The negative, I guess, if you want to call it, she is 1-19 this year, but she is 1 for her last 3. She did win 3 back, and again, she's ran into Realization in the last 2, so I don't think that's something to really scare you off of the 4, Trafalgar here in race 8, who will be my selection in our featured race of the evening. So again, a quick preview there of the Woodbine Mohawk action for this Friday, November 26, 2021. Again, an 11-race program that will get started at 7 p.m. as always. And as always, you can go to www.woodbine.com/mohawk/free-programs to get your very own free program for this Friday's action at Woodbine Mohawk. So that, racing fans, that was, again, happy to be joined earlier by Heather Vitale to talk about Dover Downs, the progress pace, their big evening of racing coming up on Wednesday night. And then also, again, I'm happy to walk through with you and talk about the Woodbine Mohawk action for Black Friday on November 26th after we all get through our Thanksgiving celebrations and festivities. So with that, to our American listeners, we'll wish everyone a very, very happy Thanksgiving this Thursday. Wish everyone the best of luck wagering at Dover Downs for your pre-Thanksgiving wagering action, and wagering on Woodbine Mohawk Friday for your post-Thanksgiving wagering action, and anything in between. Plenty of Thanksgiving racing for those interested in wagering then as well, and plenty of other racing action for you to watch and wager on this week and this coming weekend. So we'll wish you the best of luck in all those endeavors. We hope they are all winning bets that you place, and we will talk to you next time here First Over with Edison Hatter to discuss some Saturday evening Woodbine Mohawk racing. Saturday, November 27th, 2021. We'll round out the month here on First Over with Edison Hatter to discuss that Saturday evening Mohawk card, and that episode will be out sometime late tomorrow night. But until then, may all your bets be winning ones.